There's a letter which has just become very popular in the last 2 days or so, much praised. Very popular means on the internet, where else? Life is lived on the internet. Concerning Srila Prabhupada, I'd like to make a few comments about that. There was a question sent to him by email, presumably, or whatever. Goes as follows. I'm very much attracted to this Krishna conscious philosophy, the lifestyle, and have never struggled with the four principles. But I have very little attraction to Prabhupada himself. Sometimes I think, if I had my choice, I would choose a different branch of bhakti yoga than ISKCON. But because of my experience, I have such a fondness for ISKCON, despite what I see as its faults. How do I rectify this? Do you have any recommendations for books, perhaps written by you or your god brothers and god sisters, that have a bit more heart and a bit less science? I have read quite a few of Prabhupada's books, but I'm looking for some additional, perhaps softer material to study alongside them. Here is the amazing response. The comment is given. It's an amazing response by Hridayananda Das Goswami. It's been very much appreciated. So it goes as follows. I will first focus on our relationship with Prabhupada. Actually, we all have to widen our vision of Prabhupada. For example, the admirable fondness you have for ISKCON really is a fondness for Prabhupada. Similarly, when you see something good and beautiful in any member of ISKCON, you are really seeing the goodness and beauty of Prabhupada. I'm sure all these devotees will happily say that they are Prabhupada's spiritual creations. I am certainly Prabhupada's spiritual creation, and whatever good I have done comes from his kindness and teachings. So I suggest that you feel completely free to appreciate Prabhupada in many forms, not only in his personal lectures and books, but also in the devotees, the communities, the dances, the songs, the loving spiritual relationships that actually he inspired. As far as lectures and books are concerned, here is a way to look at them. Prabhupada knew that probably the biggest historical problem in world religions has been the chronic tendency to change, distort, or pervert the teachings of the founder. We have spectacular examples of this in Christianity, Buddhism, many forms of Hinduism, and many other places. In his simple, eloquent, and one might say repetitive style of preaching and writing, Prabhupada manifested on earth an immovable theological object that is virtually incorruptible, at least in all the basic points of Krishna's teachings. So we should be very sympathetic to and grateful for Prabhupada's extraordinary discipline and diligence in guaranteeing that in coming centuries and millennia, the world will always have a pure, incorruptible version of Krishna's teachings. There are indeed other Gaudiya branches, but it is Prabhupada who knowingly and lovingly literally sacrificed his life to save us. No one in the West knew or cared about Gaudiya Vaishnavism until Prabhupada risked and ultimately gave his life as he tirelessly, selflessly circled the globe, saving and resaving us. He endured unlimited anxiety and stress as he managed ISKCON in all the world, bore everyone's burden on his shoulders, stayed up at night worrying about his beloved spiritual children, ignored pain and disease that racked his body, and did what no other guru or acharya could ever do. He established a global Krishna society to save this poor planet. Strength lies in unity, and for the world's sake as well, we should serve a united world society for Krishna consciousness. Further, Krishna himself revealed the identity of his pure devotee by empowering Prabhupada far beyond, to be honest, all the other acharyas combined. To leave Prabhupada is to turn a blind eye to Krishna's own revelation of his dearest servant. Of course, most of those who have abandoned Prabhupada's mission will claim that they are, in fact, his true servants. But anyone who knows what Prabhupada said, did, and felt in this regard will instantly see the absurdity of this claim. I myself would be nothing of spiritual value without Prabhupada. I suggest you read the many heartfelt biographies written by Prabhupada's loving servants. There you will find that Prabhupada was most personal, most loving, most loyal, most devoted to all of us. Although it may sometimes appear to a young person today that Prabhupada basically just lectured and wrote books all day. In fact, he spent most of every day caring for us, nurturing us with unlimited Krishna conscious affection. Prabhupada is a pure soul, free of pride, vanity, or envy. If at this point in your spiritual evolution it is easier for you to experience his kindness and friendship through your devotee friends, then Prabhupada would be very pleased with you. With best wishes, Hridayananda Das Goswami. So a few comments on this. As I said, this letter has been very much appreciated by many devotees around the world. It certainly is one apt way to reply to the request for help in a few points I want to make about this. Just one or two technical things, first of all. Here Srila Prabhupada, Hridayananda Maharaj says that only Srila Prabhupada could have established a spiritual movement all over the world. No other guru or acharya could ever establish a global Krishna society to save this poor planet. Well, actually, Srila Prabhupada himself said that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in relation to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur could have done it himself, but he left some. He is a Vaishnav. He is so powerful. He can save the whole universe, Srila Prabhupada said. But he kindly left some work for future generations to do. In the Vaishnava Vandana, a well-known, at least among Bengali Vaishnavas, a well-known song, there is the statement regarding the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ramanda Tarite Shakti Dhare Jane Jane. Every one of them is capable of saving the whole world. So that this particular mercy fell to Srila Prabhupada is, of course, unique, and Srila Prabhupada is, of course, unique, but according to the teachings of our previous acharyas and according to Srila Prabhupada himself, the other pure devotees could have done that. Another point is that here Hridayananda Maharaj says that most of those who have abandoned Prabhupada's mission will claim that they are in fact his true servants. But anyone who knows what Prabhupada said, did, and felt in this regard will instantly see the absurdity of this claim. Those who have abandoned Prabhupada's mission are from Hridayananda Maharaj's perspective and still claim that they are his true servants, I presume that means that they have left ISKCON. But they would not claim that they have abandoned Prabhupada's mission. It's a self-defeating statement. They might claim that the institution that Prabhupada set up has in important ways itself abandoned Prabhupada's mission. And I would consider that at least a discussable topic. But anyway, the main subject of the letter is the response to someone who says, I'm very much attracted to this Krishna conscious philosophy and the lifestyle. I've never struggled with the four principles. That's quite unusual in the modern world. Someone who's never struggled with any of the four principles. Most devotees don't struggle too much with following meat eating, gambling, or even intoxication, but we hear about the what is euphemistically referred to as the fourth principle. And it seems that pretty much everyone has a problem with that, because that is the basic principle of human existence or material existence. Pungsastriya mitini bhavametam tayoraho hridaya grantimahu. So it's, if someone has never struggled with the four principles, that suggests that they are very well situated. But I have very little attraction to Prabhupada himself. Sometimes I think if I had my choice, I would choose a different branch of bhakti yoga than ISKCON. Well, who said you don't have a choice? Everyone has, it's all a matter of choice. No one's forcing you. And she, I presume this is female, but in modern English you say she to mean he or she. It used to be he only. Then it became he or she, and now it seems to be saying she. And it seems to me like it's, by my intuition maybe, it seems to me it's a she who's asking this question. So, looking for books that have more, a bit more heart and a bit less science, perhaps softer. So, I see in this question some serious problem, which the reply by Hridayananda Maharaj doesn't specifically focus on, and that's not necessarily a fault that it doesn't focus on it directly. But the whole tone of the query is that what I like and what I want Krishna consciousness to be. And I don't much like Prabhupada. It seems to be too hard, not soft enough, not enough heart. And Hridayananda Maharaj says, well, you can see whatever you find nice in ISKCON, you can see Prabhupada in that. But if the inquirer sees an ISKCON which they like, but a Prabhupada which they admittedly don't much like, that would suggest that the ISKCON that is running on today is not really that much representing Prabhupada. There's a difference, because if ISKCON is transparently Prabhupada, then why would you like ISKCON but not Prabhupada? And specifically talking about softer. So there's a fault there in the very process of Krishna consciousness, which is why we have to hear Prabhupada to understand that we don't, actual bhakti means not to approach Krishna or God in the manner that, well, what I like. But we have to understand that we are eternal servants of Krishna, and that we are meant to serve him. He sets the rules, not that we take from Krishna what we like and leave out the things that we don't like. And I suggest that the reason that the inquirer feels as she feels is because in ISKCON today we tend to concentrate on all the quote-unquote nice things, but we don't much stress all the things which we think that people might think are not nice. And so we want the bliss of bhakti, nice kirtans and nice festivals and nice prasadam and nice relationships. But things which people find more difficult, like, or that may not appeal them to them so much, like giving up the sense of self-centeredness with which you think well, I like this aspect of Krishna consciousness, I don't like that. And utterly submitting ourselves to Krishna and understanding the teachings of Krishna, which are non-different from Krishna, and Srila Prabhupada's teachings are non-different from him, there's not so much stress on that. That we really have to submit ourselves to Krishna. Now, if we ask for something softer, that is obliquely a criticism that from the perspective of the inquirer, or it's a statement from the perspective of the inquirer that they are the arbiter of all that should be, of all that is correct, and that Prabhupada and by extension Krishna in his very demanding and strident teachings in Bhagavad Gita is not correct because it's too heavy, it's too hard. So we want more heart and less science. But this is a misunderstanding, because the bliss of Krishna consciousness is not separate from the proper understanding of Krishna consciousness. You can't get one without the other. And that is the mistake of the Prakriti Sahajiyas, who think that, well, let us just have the bliss of Krishna consciousness, but as far as actually submitting to Krishna and following all the rules and accepting the philosophy of Krishna consciousness as it is, well, they're not much interested in that at all. And they may actually decry that. A leader of ISKCON in America told me that he perceived that in America, new devotees joining our movement from the rank of, well, especially from the rank of American, Caucasian American. There aren't that many of them, are there? Not many. You're an Indian living in America, so you don't see many. But they don't like to read Prabhupada's books. Not only are they, it's not that they're not just not interested, but they don't like to. This is what I was told by that devotee who's a temple president. He said they feel that Prabhupada's teachings are sexist, racist, elitist. In other words, they don't fit with the modern neo-Mayavad or New Age ideas that everyone is all equal and everything is all nice and let's all be nice and loving apart from a few bombs which we drop on Iraq. Oh, they stopped doing that. Well, where's the next stop? Where's Syria on the map? We love everyone. And don't be judgmental. And all these bogus ideas, which are to people who are not at all serious about spiritual life, are actually very hypocritical about it, they sound very spiritual. But unless we know the science of spiritual life, beginning with we are not the body, we are encaged in body after body, due to our rebelliousness against Krishna and our desire, or that rebellious from which springs desire for sense enjoyment, Krishna bhuli seji vanadi bahimukha tev mayatare daya shangsharit. Sangshadu Krishna Bahimokoya Bhogavanchakari, that's the one. Nikatasta Mayatare Japatiya Dhare. So unless we understand this, we can't really make any advancement in Krishna consciousness. And although we may follow the four regulative principles, which is laudable in this horribly degraded modern society, we may chant Hare Krishna, at least superficially. But unless we clearly understand the science of Krishna consciousness as given in Shastra, then we're going to be nurturing all kinds of misconceptions. And the 10 offenses against the holy name cover the main misconceptions. In fact, the 10th offense covers them all. Aham mameti, I, me, and mine. And this kind of chanting, however blissful we may think it is, and however spiritually advanced we may think we are, will not lead to the desired goal. Bahujanma kare jadi shravan kirtan tabuta napai krishna pade prema dhan. We can go on hearing and chanting in such an offensive mentality for many lifetimes, but we won't get the love of Krishna, which is the ultimate goal of that chanting. So of course, having stated that, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita says that by chanting the names of Chaitanya and Nityananda, we will get free from offense. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also taught the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, because otherwise, also, we can't get free from offense. Misunderstanding breeds offensiveness. Offensiveness comes from seeing oneself in any other identity than that of a servant of Krishna, who, with no other motive than to please Krishna according to Krishna's terms and conditions. And it's because Srila Prabhupada tirelessly taught this, as Sridharananda Maharaj pointed out, Srila Prabhupada, he points out that Prabhupada wasn't only lecturing and writing, but actually that was a major part of what Srila Prabhupada did. Srila Prabhupada lectured and made books to give this philosophy of Krishna consciousness, because that is the essence of a guru. The essence of a guru is not what you feel, what the kind of nice feeling you get when he smiles at you. That is not the essence of guruship. The essence is his teaching. A guru is a guru because he teaches. And Srila Prabhupada is Jagat Guru, the guru of the whole world, because he gave this message to the world. He didn't change it. He gave it, even though no one thought that it was possible to give this message to the world. No one in Srila Prabhupada's generation thought it was possible. But Srila Prabhupada nevertheless tried with full sincerity to do so, and Krishna reciprocated, and many people who became his disciples also reciprocated. They may have come for various reasons. They may have come for various... some came with more philosophical inclinations, some came with more sentimentality. Everyone's a different case. But to everyone, Srila Prabhupada taught the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, because that is his prime duty as a guru. And if we want to accept Srila Prabhupada as a guru, if we want to be an ISKCON, we have to accept Srila Prabhupada as the founder acharya of ISKCON, which means we have to accept his teachings. And even if we want to accept a guru who is a disciple of Srila Prabhupada or grand disciple, and into the future their qualification of being a guru is to present the same teachings that Srila Prabhupada taught. And Srila Prabhupada, he's a guru because he taught the teachings that his guru taught, and it goes back to the original guru, Krishna. Krishnam vande jagat guru. The actual jagat guru is Krishna. So the idea that, well, I like to have a guru, but I'll tell him how he should teach me. Don't give me all those heavy teachings. This is rank hypocrisy. We may not say that to someone who's at the first time you have a contact with them. And what I say it will upset many people who hear this, because they rank hypocrites. But ultimately, one has to hear what are the teachings of Shastra. Otherwise, there is no Krishna consciousness. And that's the difference between the Krishna consciousness that Prabhupada gave and Krishna consciousness as it was going on in India before Prabhupada came from the West to the West. There were already millions of Krishna bhaktas in India. But what was the difference between Srila Prabhupada and the others? Well, there are many differences, but the main difference that under discussion at the moment is that he presented the teachings of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam forcefully, without compromise, and told people that if they're actually going to be Krishna conscious, they have to follow that. So those teachings are non-different from Srila Prabhupada. You can't have Prabhupada without his teachings. And you can't demand that, well, I only want the soft teachings that I like. Then you're not fit to be a disciple. You're not fit to get Prabhupada's mercy. And you may think, well, I'll get it through someone else who presents the teachings in a lighter way. But if you present the teachings in a lighter way, then ultimately you're not presenting in the teachings at all, because the teachings are very strong. They're not made. Krishna didn't speak Bhagavad Gita to mollycoddle Arjuna. He spoke it to wake Arjuna out of his ignorance. Krishna says many heavy things in Bhagavad Gita. Namang duskrishno murha prapadyante naradhama maya parita jnana asurang bhavamashtra. Krishna used the word murha again and again in Bhagavad Gita. So if we are not to be murhas, which Srila Prabhupada translated generally as fools and rascals, then we have to accept the teachings of Srila Prabhupada or any guru. And any guru has to teach us that it's not what you like that counts, it's what you need. So you need to hear certain things. And and to adjust ISKCON so that we keep more people who are ultimately not very sincere, who just want the nice things, even if they're following the four regulated principles. That's not the ultimate qualification, because you know, horses, they also follow the four regulated principles. So, especially if they're kept in breeding stables. And there are others also. Buddhist monks traditionally follow, some of them, depends which sect they're in, they follow four regulated principles. And many Hindus, Mayavadis, or even just previously in India, just ordinary people with no pretensions to be great saints, used to follow the four principles. So it's an achievement to do so in the modern age, but that in and of itself does not constitute spiritual life. Spiritual life, especially from the perspective of a neophyte, consists of a submission to the self-realized spiritual master. You have to be submissive, because he's going to tell you things which you don't like. You don't need to be submissive if he just tells you things that you like. Then he has to be submissive to you. So the science of Krishna consciousness is not separate from the heart, or what you might consider the softer part. They're inseparable. You can't have one without the other. And anyway, there is no difference. The philosophy of Krishna consciousness is very sweet. Our perception of it as being something that we don't like is our own fault. It's not the fault of the teachings. It's not the fault of Prabhupada. It's not a fault at all. It is pure mercy that Srila Prabhupada gave these teachings. Okay, Hare Krishna. I spoke about this extensively in the last book that I released, which was called On Speaking Strongly in Srila Prabhupada's Service. So it's all discussed in there in more detail. So Hare Krishna, I'll finish there. If you have any questions, look in On Speaking Strongly in Srila Prabhupada's Service, or send an email to askbvks. Hare Krishna. We'll finish there.